Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here in studio with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls today here on New Life Live. Thanks for joining us. 1-800-229-3000. That's the number. 1-800-229-3000.
Thank you for taking my call.
Great to talk to you. I've listened to the program for over a decade.
How are you today?
I'm surviving.
No, well, let me ask you this. Are you having sex with her? Now, that's just not hard to answer. It's either yes
well,
or no.
Well, I think the answer's obvious.
They simply want you to drop into a system of order which acknowledges who they think they are.
This is a big problem in our church. People get one verse and they make a religion out of it.
So
you got
true.
That passage in Ephesians, and you look at that, and all of a sudden, you're going to be drinking Kool-Aid on an island somewhere because you got one verse theology.
Reflect back her feelings and let her sit with them.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. I misstated the guest here, the co-host, the helpers of the day. It is actually Dr. Henry Cloud that's with us today. Hey, Henry.
Hey, Steve. Sorry to disappoint you, but, you know.
You didn't
disappoint.
John will be back in.
Yes.
You know, you guys are totally interchangeable.
We're
interchangeable. That isn't a good thing either.
That's no, that's not true either. People yeah. are not is, interchangeable.
One of us is redundant.
No. Glad you're here. Thank you so much for being here. Now, I got to get this out of the way.
Seriously, Ralph, I mean, I always enjoy doing the program
yes,
with
thank
you.
Yes. All right, Ralph Cramden or whatever. Hey, today is the 12th of December. And we're doing something at 4 p.m. Pacific time, and it is our first webinar. And if you haven't registered, it's not too late. You just go to newlife.com and register free. Today is the 12th. Today's Every Man's Battle. Jason Martinkus is doing that. Tomorrow I'm doing Healing is a Choice at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And then on Wednesday, we have the New Life Marriage. Mylon Yurkovich and Dave Stoop will be doing that at 4. They're all live. It's free. You can interact with us. It's something that we wanted to try, and it's actually turned out to be a little more successful than we ever dreamed. So register live or register for the webinar at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You get a free download of the outline of the topic that day. And you'll be able to go online and chat and give your thoughts and all that, and it's free. So please do it. We've had a great, great response to this. So we're excited
cool.
about
that
our first webinar.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do that, where will you do that?
Right here.
Right here. Do you do it from your laptop, or you do it from the fancy cameras? Or
Today, Jason Martinkus will do it from the laptop, and then tomorrow and on Wednesday, we'll do it from the fancy cameras here in the studio.
Because nowadays, you can't even tell the difference. I did one
True.
Of these for, it was for AACC, American Association
yeah.
of Christian Counselors. And I was on a trip, so I'm in a hotel room
mm-hmm.
with my little laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like gazillions of people everywhere, and they said it just looks
amazing,
normal.
Yeah, there's no, there was a time when you were using those computer cameras, and it took a picture of you about every other second.
Right.
It's not that way anymore.
No, and in fact, if you look at all the networks, you know, where they have correspondents out,
yeah.
you know, in Iraq or wherever, they're all Skyping
That's
into
right.
the, it's a whole new
yeah.
world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are glad you're with us and hope that this is going to be a great holiday season for you and already wrapping up to be a holiday season for you. We have something free. It is called the 10 Ways to Beat the Holiday Blues and or the Holiday Booze. People don't like you. or you drink too much, Holiday Booze. But anyway,
or if
mainly,
you drink too much, you may be the blues for someone else.
That's right.
That's
but
true.
Whether it's booze or blues, we have 10 ways to beat them. And you can call us and get those free tips there. I think you'll enjoy those, especially if you're into the booze. All right. 1-800-229-3000, that is our number. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help or if you need to do some Christmas shopping. We've got so many resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or you can go online at newlife.com. But right now we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go right to your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us today. Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard and Steve Arterburn here, and you. We'll be back.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We were just talking at the break about the plague of prescription drug abuse, and my daughter looked into the studio at that exact time. She is not a plague, and she is not on prescription drugs. So, but anyway...
You can get a DUI for being on prescription drugs.
And that we were at the treatment center, and 70% of the people were prescription drug addicts, and only 30% were there just for alcohol. Now, that's a big switch.
Mm-hmm. That is.
Used to, you'd see alcoholics, drug addicts, and then you'd have 20% or so got hooked on prescription drugs. But, man, it is epidemic. So if you have that problem, we could help you if you'd let us.
I wonder if... you know, when we were growing up, remember you had a doctor,
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
And you went to a doctor.
Yeah.
And so now you could not go to your doctor and get all of this stuff.
Right.
Because you go, well, what's going on? But now you only see a doctor for like 30 seconds and you see a different one every time. And I wonder if that contributes to all this, just the fragmentation.
Yeah. It has to. You can get what you – well, you'd think with the pharmacy interconnected system it would prevent it, but people are able to work around that. Let's go to Marie from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Well, I was going to ask a question.
Okay.
Because we're getting towards the end of the year, and I know that you hate to ask for support from our listeners.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you were going to bring that up today.
I'm going to bring it up. And I'm going to get the up-to-date where we are, and I'll bring it up probably in the next segment. And thank you for bringing it up.
Well, I want to bring it up because I don't normally do this, but I really feel a burden for this right now. And I just wanted to say, because we don't say this too much either, that I'm going to make an end-of-the-year donation, and I would like to ask everybody else to join. So if you're out there, you may not know. That this program's only on the air because listeners support it. You know, the show does not get paid by some network to be on there. We actually have to pay to be on.
Right.
And the listeners are the ones that make those donations. This is a nonprofit ministry.
And
so all of us chip
listeners.
In. Yeah. And so let's do it. Let's bring in the end of the year to save some cities from from losing the show.
You know, because of people coming through for us, this year has been a better year than last year. So we continue to bridge the gap. And if people will just stay with us, continue to give, continue to support us, we're going to bridge that gap, and we're going to be okay. But we have to have the support. I'll give you some updated figures here in just a little bit. But first, let's go to Marie from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello, Marie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. And how's your life going today?
My life is going very well. I'm thankful for that. And the reason for my call is I'm wondering if you have any advice for me on how I can support my 23-year-old sister who just found out that she is 6 weeks pregnant. She's unmarried and not in a good relationship.
Well, she really needs you then.
Does that mean that she's in a bad relationship or not? You just mean she doesn't have a relationship?
She has a relationship with the with her boyfriend.
The father?
With the father, yes. However, he is not very committed to the relationship. You know, a couple weeks ago, I think he was seeing somebody else. So he's
that's a pretty good sign of lack of commitment right there.
Absolutely. Mm. Mm.
Okay, so you want to know how to support her.
I do, and the thing is, she lives pretty far away. She's in, so I'm in Philadelphia. She's in Florida. She doesn't have a very good support group down there, and so I was wondering if you had any resources for me, somewhere I could call to get, you know, maybe some counseling for her, maybe some health care, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly have counselors in that area. We have a treatment center in Florida, and what city is she in?
She's near the Port Charlotte area, so
okay.
It's the Gulf side.
Well, I guess off the air, we'll just try to see what we could find. Maybe somebody's listening from Florida, from that area, and they know of a place that works with young women. I mean, crisis pregnancy centers, you know, they come along and they support women who are not aborting their child, mm-hmm. and they provide them with classes and clothes and things that little babies need and all of that. And that's really a great place to start, is with
okay.
a local women's resource center or pregnancy center.
Okay, and, that sounds great.
And when you say she's not in a good relationship, what's going on with this boyfriend? Is he wanting to be involved?
He's not very faithful, number one.
Well, we know that, but is he wanting to be involved?
Well, he has made the decision to become involved after my sister decided that she was going to keep the baby. He was pressing for an abortion, and they actually did make it to the clinic, and she turned around. She couldn't do it, and after that point, he said, I think he said something to the effect of, well, I hope it's a boy. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but so we don't know. We don't know how involved he's going to be at this point, but he's certainly not, he's not committed to her in any way.
What about your husband? Just putting in a call to him and saying, hey, I know this isn't an easy time for you. This is tough, responsibility. I want you to know I'm here for you. I want to help you, and I know you got to rise to the occasion, and, you know, just to give him some encouragement.
Were you suggesting that maybe my husband should reach out to the father?
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually a really good – my husband is so angry at this. Well, we'll call him a boy. My husband calls him a boy.
Right,
of course.
He's not
even a man, but he's so angry. But maybe you're right. Maybe that would be.
Yeah, but channel that anger into something positive that will work for your sister.
Oh, that's an excellent idea.
Yeah, but make sure that he understands that if you're going to help somebody, you can't go in angry.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
The best thing he could do for his sister is to help develop the character of the guy that's going to help her raise the baby.
Did your husband show up at his wedding night never having had sex before?
My husband?
Yes.
That's a great question.
Isn't that a great question?
It's a great way to phrase it, Henry.
Good, Henry.
Wow. I like that.
How did you know?
I just have a question. So did he?
Well, yes. I mean, I...
So he waited until he was married? He waited until he was married?
Yes. He waited. We tried to wait until we were married. But yes, I was his first.
Okay. You tried to wait until you're married.
Well, we did an okay job of it. There was a 3-year courtship, and we slipped up a couple of times.
Okay, fine.
But
fine.
With the help of, you know, friends and family in our church. And
No. I got it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now here's the deal. Okay, just help him to get in touch with the fact that could have happened to him.
That's a great point.
So he's angry at this guy as if this guy is different than him. Which he is in a lot of obvious other ways because he's not committed, et cetera, et cetera. But this could have happened to him. So maybe that will help him lose some of the anger if he can identify with the guy.
Okay. That might not help because the father wanted to press for the abortion. And I think that's why my husband is so angry at him, because he doesn't understand, you know, how he could in his words, you know, kill his own blood. So he's angry from that aspect. But that's a good point. I bring that up to him.
Okay, sit down and study the passage that says, ye who is without sin, pick up the first stone before he calls him. Just see if he can do that.
And, you know, this kid, perhaps we're seeing, lacks some character and may have been scared. You know, what's the quickest way to get rid of a problem?
Sure,
make it disappear.
Sure.
And Marie, okay? If I was talking to your husband, I would say, you know, I made that decision to kill my own flesh and blood. And I was panicked. I was disconnected. I didn't know of any options. I wasn't into doing the right thing versus the impulsive thing that seemed to fix everything quickly. And today I'm not that person. And okay. The best chance of...
And God has really used that in your life.
Hopefully, yes. And so the best chance for helping your sister is you to put into her life and to minister to her, and for your husband to, you know, put on his boots and get in there and be a man to this other man and help develop and grow him.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you so much. That's really, really good advice.
Okay. I'm glad you called.
Thanks for calling.
I'm going to send you a copy of...
I hate to go on and on, but can I say one more thing?
Yeah, I'm going to send her Walking Into Walls, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Marie, you're still, she's probably listening. One of the other best things that you can do for your sister is to surround her. You know, you've got the pregnancy to deal with and all of that, but you also have some how to deal with not committed boyfriend issues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because she really needs to learn in the course of this, she needs to learn how not to enable and how not to excuse and how to you know, make standards for character and require that her men step up to the bar of that character and perform or not.
Yeah.
Well, and
because
just
because she could get in, she could make another mistake.
Right. Just because he's the father doesn't mean she has to settle for less than what is right.
Right. And
exactly.
Actually, even more so, even stand
more
up
so.
For what's right.
Yeah.
She's not only
her
at risk. Yeah.
Right. But she's already done that. She already stood up to him by saying no to the abortion, which speaks highly of her.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're listening, and you're dating.
One more thing. I'm just kidding.
Oh. Okay.
You're listening and you're dating and you're sexually active. This could be you and whatever you possibly could do to avoid it. Stop it. Upgrade.
There's
whatever.
One main thing you could do.
What's that?
Just avoid it.
Just don't have sex.
that would pretty much solve the problem,
mm-hmm.
right?
It has solved many. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dawn from...
All but one. As we approach Christmas...
Yes.
There was only one birth.
Mm-hmm. One birth, that's right.
Right. So everybody else, you know, it's the human condition to want to pull the trigger sooner than mm-hmm. you ought to. That's normal, but you got to have the structures in life to protect that.
Hey, you know, a minor point about that, which is a major point, is that God didn't implant Jesus in Mary before he talked to her about it. In other words, he didn't just say, okay, you're pregnant. You know?
What?
She still had a choice. You know? He came to her and said, this is what's going to happen here. And she could have said, no, I can't. It's just too much responsibility. I can't do it. Just a small, minor point.
Yeah. See, he...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
You never know what Steve's going to say, do you?
No.
Let's talk to Dawn.
Neither one of you guys. You...
Dawn from Shingletown, California, KFIA. Dawn, Shingletown, California, KFIA. Hello.
Hello there.
How are you?
Good. I'm so glad to talk to you.
Well, thank you. We're glad to be talked to.
Yes. I have a question as to how to further address or if I should drop the issue about I'm single and I've always lived with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
We're both Christians. And my brother dropped us 5 years ago to pursue a use of a third woman. And
to what?
To pursue a what? Dropped you guys?
He dropped contact with us so he could pursue his immoral lifestyle.
Why did it require not talking to you guys to pursue right. whatever lifestyle?
Well, he just plain dropped us.
Okay, so he okay. stopped talking to you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did he live with you guys too?
We live there. It was us three for years.
What is now, hold on? I gotta know the stats on this. How old are you?
Well, my dad left when we were young, and right. we just all stayed together up
to
our
how old are you?
Years.
How old are you?
I'm single. I'm 42. Never been married.
You always lived with your mom.
Yeah.
And how old was he when he moved out? How old was he when he moved out?
This is his third woman. Basically 34 years old, I guess, when he finally moved out the last time.
So he's living with mom till he's 34.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll give you some help right after this.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
I, coming here, was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders, and I feel so much lighter now, and I feel so much better, and I feel like I can give so much more to other people, and I don't feel ashamed. And I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
Group therapy is different than individual therapy.
It's like a year's worth of individual therapy.
They fit together nicely.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up January 20th. To register or to find out more, call today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or log on to newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
For the first time in 2 years, I am free.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW. L-I-F-E.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Dawn, and Dawn's lived with her mother and brother for quite some time. The brother, I guess, got married, and now he has a new mistress. Is that right?
Yeah, this is a third. He had two marriages, and this is a third woman he's just living with no intention on anything else.
Okay,
he's divorced twice?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not married.
Okay, so
no.
he's living with her. So what's the question about her and all that and living together?
My mom decided to look him up, and I disagreed because I figured she should wait for him to break down, or in a sense, wait for the silence to reach him to contact his mom and me if he wanted to, but she went and looked him up. But the main thing that bothers me is she goes to the house, and I've said to her, why don't you request to meet him separate to make a point and not go to the live-in house?
Mm-hmm.
So that bothers me, but she doesn't think it, I guess she thinks she's witnessing or something. But I've said everything. Should I bother to say anything else? Because my mom's got a real vigilant personality.
Really?
And she's we get along really good, But I've watched her confront people all my life with her personality, but she doesn't like to be confronted. And I'm kind of turning out somewhat like her. But yeah. I'm the massively devoted personality.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. So we're really opposite. We don't talk about things, except when I like to bring it up, and she doesn't like it too well.
But,
it,
but you're saying it bothers you that she goes and visits where he has his mistress.
Yes.
So, okay. so is that the question? Should you talk to mom, or should mom go there, or what's the question here?
Should I make any more comments exhorting her to meet him separately?
I don't know that it matters.
Yeah.
I mean, does it really matter? Really? I mean, you got two people. It sounds like, now I'm going to make some leaps here, Dawn, so correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, but you've got a man here. He's 34.
No, now he's 45.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, he's older than you. Okay, so
yes, I'm 42. He's 45.
And are you guys the only siblings? It sounded like somebody else was.
No, we're the only siblings.
You're the
okay,
only siblings.
So okay. You said so he's been out of the house since he was 34.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Would he come back in between marriages?
Yes.
First marriage at 34.
No, the first marriage was at 21 to a 51-year-old lady.
Hmm.
And that, she dumped him after 3 years. And now she's become a true Christian, and my mom and her are very good friends, which is interesting.
Hmm.
But he...
Okay, so he okay. lives with his mom, and then he marries a 51-year-old woman at 21.
21.
Why?
She dumps him, and then he moves back in with mom.
Yeah, he came back home with us for like 10 years until he got desperate for a woman again.
Okay, then he marries, and they divorce, and he moves back in with mom.
No, this one actually, he went right to this third woman.
Okay, all right.
Right.
Okay.
It was an affair that...
How old was the second wife?
Younger than him.
Okay.
Hey, Dawn.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to play a game with me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Dr. Dawn has a psychologist's office, and she's a doctor there. And I come in there and I say, Dr. Dawn, I got a brother that's he's lived with my mother. If he's, unless he's off in some goofy relationship, he always lives with my mother. And then now he's off in another goofy relationship, so he's on that end of the cycle. And he's never really been out on his own. What do you think the problem is here?
His own self-fulfillment, that he won't let God be his all, and he's looking for love in all the wrong places.
So if he would let, what does let God be his all mean?
Surrender his life to Jesus and let him be his fulfillment.
I don't know what that means. Let him be his fulfillment. What does that mean?
It means for him to let God be his fulfillment.
To fulfill what?
All his needs and
his needs. He shouldn't marry.
His need for broccoli, his need for water, for oxygen, for friends, for cars. What do you mean?
Meaning that letting God be the author of his life and let God put things into his life that God sees fit instead of him taking the steering wheel.
All right,
and
now
finding things on his own.
Okay, there you go. So all right, so you want him to let God be the director of his life.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me say just one of the quickest things that God ever said when he made a man was he said it's not good for him to be alone, and for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father. Okay, to cleave to a wife. So if I were organizing the God program here, I would say, one of the things that this young man hasn't done before he cleaves is he doesn't leave. You got an adult.
Well, he has now.
No, he's cleaved again. See?
He leaves out the leaving part.
He leaves out the leaving part.
He
cleaves and cleaves and cleaves and cleaves, but I don't see any independent adult man leaving home and establishing an adult life from which he could pick another adult woman. He picked a mother, And now it sounds like he's picked, you know, he's just making goofy choices. But I see, a 15-year-old in an adult's body.
Just walking away for 5 years doesn't mean you've left.
Right.
Right.
It's not the same.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Dawn, and we're trying to make some points here about leaving and cleaving.
Does that make sense to you, Dawn?
Well, he doesn't have any business cleaving to another woman because he's been divorced twice.
Well, my point is, we're not even talking about cleaving. I think the last thing this man needs to do is cleave to anybody. I don't think he's left home and become an adult.
You're right.
And there seems to be a pattern in this family, right, that people don't leave home.
Well, he uses home bases because he's not an adult.
Well,
really. Right. And usually people do that until the parents kick them out. You know, birdies know this. They kick those little birdies. Yeah. Mama birdie kicks them out of the nest.
And so, Dawn, the question comes up is that, why are you still at home? Why are you single?
What's going on with you?
How
as
has
well?
That and your relationship with the Lord all fit together there? What's going on?
Well, that wasn't my topic, but I sure would like to talk about it. I don't really see anything. I'm independent spiritually and emotionally.
Oh, you are?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So you have your own community that you draw your life from.
Yes, but we just stayed together. In fact, I prayed about moving out 3 years ago. But we stayed together financially, and God moved us to a perfect place up in the mountains where I'm serving my landlord. But I have my own ideas and contacts and pursuits.
Well, here's the point. The point would be that certainly some mother-daughter relationships are meant to be, and you're called to be single, and it all works. But but we want to be sure that it isn't a situation like your brother, where you have a mother that doesn't allow you to leave, that she locks you in, manipulates you to never, ever think about yourself separate from her.
And have friends that you're very, very, that you're closer to than you are to her.
Right. Yeah, I understand. She... I think she'd like to live by herself.
Really?
And,
really?
Yeah, I think she's so independent. It wouldn't hurt her feelings to live by herself. But we're very good friends, but
yeah.
We never have talked about always said I want to be single, but now I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd welcome a husband now.
Okay.
Well, if you want
to, yes, I'd like to have God send me a husband, but it's something we've never talked about.
Well,
I don't know how she would even think what she would think about me getting married.
Well, you know, it really wouldn't matter. It really wouldn't matter.
Yeah, it's really not her. She doesn't have a vote here.
It's interesting, Don, because you say that you and your mom never really talk about things. So you guys just, it's kind of the unspoken rules where you just kind of keep the status quo. And you're right. And your brother's kind of tried to break out of that. But the first time he marries, you know, someone so much older than him, it's like marrying a mother. And so he keeps trying, but he keeps getting pulled back in. And there isn't this talking about how it's a natural progression that kids grow up and they leave their parents so that they can establish themselves. And now certainly there are times when kids come back home because of caretaking issues or financial, as you've said, but it is important to establish yourself as an adult. And so I think that's just one of the things that we had concern about. And the fact that you're saying maybe you might want to get married now, that could be a good sign.
Because you've got probably
42 is not too late.
No, you've probably got three times or four times the amount of adult years left. So
right.
Yeah, and I think, Don, what we're all saying here is your original question, the way you put it, was that he left you guys.
You guys, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem, that he's making choices in the context of, you know, not an independent person looking at life, choosing, you know, what's good to choose and what isn't. I think it's in the context of this kind of like back and forth again.
It's like a magnetic pull
to
that
home.
He's trying to break away from. And so he has to break away really strongly.
Right. So if I were your mother, and, you know, your original question was, should she go to the house or should she go to an independent place to tell him that he's living in sin? I don't even think that's the conversation. Certainly that's going to be in there. If I'm his mother or his father, would I go to him and say, you know what, Joey, I can see that, you know, you're going to be making a bunch of choices here and this, that, and the other. But as I look at your history, I don't think you've ever really grown up. I think you go out there and you make mistakes and you come running home and you kind of don't even grow when you're at home. You sort of just park it there for a number of years and then you go make another mistake. So I'd be willing to help you maybe again. But what I would want to see from you is I want to see you pursuing some life, and you ought to go kind of get healthy and work out who you are and what you want to be and how you want to live and what your values are. And if you choose to go do the kind of things you're doing now, then, you know, it's your life and you'll answer to God and to your own consequences about all that. But I would hope that you would start thinking about maybe getting some help and go see a pastor, go see a counselor. That's the conversation that, as a mother, I think would be called for.
Okay. I'll send you Henry's book, Boundaries. I hope that will be a blessing to you, and appreciate your phone call. Let's go to Andrew from Lansing, Michigan, Sirius Satellite Radio. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Speak right up there so we can hear you all the way from Michigan. And we're doing well today.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Got a question. Got a circumstance going on regarding marriage and a stay-at-home mom.
Okay. Are you married?
Yes, I am. Been married for about 16 and a half years.
Are we talking about your wife?
What's that?
Are we talking about your wife?
Yes.
Okay.
About my wife. And been married 6.5 years, have 4 kids, ages 9, 16, and 14. And we made the decision for the wife to come out of the workplace.
Whose kids?
And,
whose kids were they?
Oh, they're both our kids from the marriage.
Oh, I thought you said you've been married 6 years.
No, 16 and a half years.
16 and a half years.
So oh, 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and 9-year-old.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
And the purpose of coming out of the workplace, she has a degree in accounting, and she wanted to go for a CPA. And I've been working in and out of town, so spend more time up at the kids' schools and stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
But after she's been out of the workplace, I mean, when she was in the workplace, everybody at the workplace was wrong. They were stressing her out, and they were getting on her nerves and stuff like that, and she was bringing it home. So she said that she would be more positive and more upbeat if she stayed at home. But now that she's been at home a few years, she's starting to get stressed out again, and she stopped going to school because she said she had no intentions on going back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't want to acquire any more school debt and stuff of that nature.
Okay.
So my question would be that we agreed that she came out of the workplace under that she would be going up to the schools and that she would be going back to school herself.
Mm-hmm.
But now that she's back home, she doesn't go up to the kids' school. And when they forget something at home, she gets frustrated at them and she's yelling and she seems like she's stressed out and she's becoming negative again. So how do I go about addressing that? I know bringing it up is a sore spot. We get into arguments about it, that it's not all about making money and this and that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like to me, no matter what she does, her miserable self shows up there in that location, whether it's workplace or home.
Yeah.
And so what is making her so miserable? What is her source of misery?
Well, I know we're opposites. We took a personality assessment, and we were direct contrast of each other's personality. So I understand that she's not going to view things like I view things. But at the same time, it's just it's frustrating on my end because we have adjusted our income to make this. And I guess it's been coming up to light lately is because my oldest daughter is a junior. She'll be in college in 2 years. And, you know, I'm saying I could use some help financially to start preparing for those big expenses that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So I asked her, you know, what to think about going to get a part-time job and stuff like that to assist or, you know, do taxes because she has a degree in accounting. And then she says, well, you think I'm useless around here? I'm just dead weight. You know, just it goes. She attacks everything except addressing the issue that we're talking about as far as the daughter about to be in college and stuff of that nature. So,
yeah. Mm. Andrew, have you ever, in a not confronting issues kind of way, ever just empathically reached out to her and just said, you know, I'm kind of concerned about you. You don't really seem happy to me.
Yeah.
Seems like there's
I'm actually in the Army and have been in there for a while, and I'm just getting back from Afghanistan.
Mm.
And thank while I was over there,
thank you
I called
for your,
home. And
service.
I called home. I said, why don't you go to counseling? You know, go to counseling. And that was a big source of argument, too, that I'm trying to fix her life to mirror mine and trying to create her and me, but no, she's just not happy.
Yeah. Well, instead of suggesting a solution, like why don't you go to counseling, I would approach her in the beginning, you know, very softly and compassionately and just say, you know, I love you. I feel for you. I sense. Oh, we'll be back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're talking with Andrew. And Andrew, we thank you for serving in Afghanistan. And Andrew and his wife, you don't seem to be able to communicate with your wife. She just reacts.
She gets defensive,
yeah.
It seems.
Yeah, and I think what I just did the other night kind of fire sent us in a downward spiral.
What was that? What'd you do the other night?
We're supposed to have a family movie night with the family, you know, kicking off the Christmas holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister was going to drop off the kids a little early. And she really snapped about that she's not a babysitter and that this and that. She's tired of me. She's tired of my family. And just really started giving me the real fifth degree. So, I mean, I was at work when she called me. So when I got home, I canceled the movie night first after that call. Then when I got home, I called all the kids and her into the room, and I explained to them, I said, look, this is not, I know what we've been modeling before you is not an ideal Christian marriage, and this is not acceptable because I have four daughters. And I said, I don't want you to get the idea that this is normal for your mom to be so disrespectful to me and so hard on you all. Mm. So kind of put it out there, kind of put everything out on the floor in front of the kids. And
mm-hmm. Well, was she in the room also?
Yeah, she was in the room also.
So what was her reaction?
Go ahead.
What was her reaction?
She just sat there and looked, and I said, well, we need some type of intervention here. I mean, I said, and I asked the oldest girl, I said, no, you left your shoes at home for basketball practice, and you know, you call and you ask your mom to come up to the school. What she do? She blows up at you. And I said, this is the same thing that happens with my youngest daughter, the youngest twin.
Okay.
She comes to me weekly.
I think we get the punch.
So, Andrew, I understand you wanting to teach your kids something and try to show them what's right. But at the same time, I think you did a number on your wife by completely undermining her in front of the kids. It sounds like the two of you need to go get some help together. Your wife, at the very least, sounds depressed. And clearly it's hard for you to understand her, and she feels misunderstood. And, you know, I would even say to her that you realize that you're different than her and you want to understand her. You just don't know how. And could she help you try to understand her better? Because it seems like everything you do offends her, and that's not what you're wanting.
Yeah.
And could the two of you go to counseling so that you could learn how to communicate with her in a way that's more effective?
And I would tell her that I'm sorry that I handled the situation the way I did the other night in front of the kids.
Yeah.
You feel pulled in two directions.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it, and that probably wasn't the best way, and I'd like us to get some help. And Henry, what are you thinking over there?
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, you just can't do what you did, Andrew. You've got to work out the stuff with your wife.
She's going
to
be bitter.
Apart from the kids. And the way I would suggest, and I'm, you know, what I'm about to say is probably, you know, who knows if it's right or wrong, but it's what it sounds like. It sounds like that she is not someone who easily takes feedback without becoming defensive, right?
No.
And so when you're with someone like that, it's very, very important that you start out and handle things correctly from your side so you don't give them bullets when they blame you. If somebody's going to blame you, you want them to blame you out of a vacuum of ammunition So you have, like the Bible says, you have, you know, a clean record for those who accuse you. So start with being loving and empathic and saying, look, I'm concerned about you, and I know you're not happy, and I want to help. And I want to be someone to you that adds to your happiness, not takes away from it. I know you're upset with me, so that gets in the way of, like Jill says, us. And so I really want to address that, and I want to help.
Yeah.
So let's go get some help. And then as you are doing that, and as you're doing the things that are important for you to do, that's when long-suffering begins. Long-suffering doesn't begin until we're no longer part of the problem. And so start loving her, and then when she's resisting you and blaming you, you have a firm foundation to confront that on, but not until she feels or she sees that you're doing everything right. And then when she accuses you of being mean, then her stuff comes more
right
into view.
Right, right. And okay, the emphasis on us is because I think her being the identified problem might be problematic for her.
I'm going to send Mylon Kay's book, How We Love. I hope that that will give you some insight there. And tough situation. And, you know, so often somebody is so in the wrong that it looks like anything we do is okay. But we can exacerbate the problem with our reaction, and that's what we're trying to do, is come up with a better reaction to when she is out of control. Two things I want to mention before we go. One is there is a webinar today at 4 o'clock. Today, Pacific time, Every Man's Battle. You know, it's free. We're doing this for you for free. Tomorrow, I'll do Healing as a Choice, and we're going to talk about the choices to tear down some walls and that prevent us from living the way God wants us to live. And then on Wednesday, it's marriage with Mylon and Dave Stoop. So please go to newlife.com, register, and come join us for this. All you do is you click on, we're going to be live in the studio, and you'll be able to interact with us. And I hope it's the beginning of many of these. I said I'd update you on finances, and I just want to remind you that we're a nonprofit. We depend upon your donations to keep doing what we do. And, you know, 2011 has been a very unique year. We actually hope and expect to finish this year in the black. But we have a backlog of payables, and we're working to catch up on those, and we've made good progress this year. So finishing in the black isn't the whole story. Now, we talk about our finances and the need to pay radio stations and do what we do, or we could talk about the cuts that we've made. I could talk about that, the pay cuts, staff cuts. We've stopped TV production. We've foregone attendance at some of the conventions. We don't spend money unless it's really necessary. Our company Christmas party, that's a joke, here in California and Texas, you know, they're potluck parties. But what I want you to think about more
it's
than
not
any
a joke,
of,
everybody's
yeah,
there, right?
But what I want you to think about more than any of that is that New Life is a life-changing ministry. In every aspect of what we do, we see God come in and do a work of transformation. And that's what we want you to support, is this work of transformation. So when you think about making a year-end gift, you're thinking about giving toward transforming somebody's life. As Henry said, he's giving year-end, I'm giving, Jill is going to give.
Yes.
We all give.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep reaching people and reaching new people. And we're so grateful for all of the new supporters this year. I mean, we had 1,000 new supporters in 1 month. So if you can make a gift, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online at newlife.com, or you can write us and send a check, mailing it to Post Office Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. We want to be doing this next year, and everything that happens next year kind of depends on what happens between now and the end of the year. You pray, you ask God, is this the ministry that you want me to support? And if it is, I hope you'll respond to the Lord. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. Thank you, Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and all of you. Thank you. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.